MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Vaccine That Worked Everywhere Except the Hospital. On September 2nd, 1933, something invisible happened to the children of Wales. Nothing occurred on that day. No announcement, no discovery, no news. The significance arrived 71 years later, when a health system drew a line straight through the calendar and declared that everyone born before that date would be offered a shingles vaccine, and everyone born after it would not. A single day of birth separated two groups of people who were otherwise nearly identical. Same country, same aging bodies, same viruses sleeping in their nerves, same risk of a painful rash, and perhaps of something far larger hiding behind it. That line through the calendar became, decades later, one of the most closely watched natural experiments in modern dementia research. And its result was startling. A 2025 study in the journal Nature, led by researchers using the Welsh eligibility cutoff, estimated that people who received the live shingles vaccine had roughly 3.5 percentage points less risk of a new dementia diagnosis over 7 years of follow-up. In relative terms, that is about a fifth fewer dementia diagnoses among the vaccinated. For a disease that has swallowed billions of research dollars and produced almost no preventions, this was a genuine shock. An ordinary, cheap, decades-old vaccine, originally designed to stop a rash, appearing to protect the mind. Then came the counterweight. In July of 2026, a research team published a preprint analyzing approximately 6.3 million people in England using the country's hospital record system. The same kind of birthday line, the same vaccine policy, the same logic of natural comparison. The English study confirmed that the policy worked exactly as designed on its original target. Vaccine eligibility measurably reduced hospital-coded shingles. But on dementia, the hospital records showed nothing at all. The estimated effect was minus 0.06 percentage points, with a confidence interval spanning from minus 0.4 to plus 0.27, and a p-value of 0.72. In plain language, no detectable reduction. Not a small effect hiding at the edge of significance. Nothing. Three countries saw a signal. One enormous database did not. And the temptation, when results disagree at this scale, is to pick a winner, to decide that the bigger study must be the truth, or that the positive results must be the truth. This article is about a third possibility, one that gets less attention because it is about plumbing rather than biology. Every one of these studies measured dementia through a specific administrative instrument, a general practice diagnosis, a hospital code, a death certificate. Those instruments are not interchangeable windows onto the same disease. They find dementia at different stages, in different populations, through different doors into the health system. The disagreement between the studies may therefore be telling us two things at once, something about vaccines and viruses, and something no less important about what our medical records can and cannot see. The thesis, stated plainly, is this: the conflicting shingles vaccine results may partly reveal that dementia diagnosis infrastructure, the machinery that decides when a living person becomes a counted case, is itself part of the measured outcome, not neutral plumbing underneath it. This is a testable inference, not an established finding. It may be wrong, but if it is even partly right, it matters far beyond shingles, because it would mean the world's growing mountains of medical data are not one instrument, but many, quietly disagreeing about what a disease is. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. To see why a birthday can stand in for a randomized trial, it helps to understand what a regression discontinuity is, though the idea is simpler than the name. A randomized trial creates two identical groups by flipping a coin, so any later difference in health can be attributed to the treatment. Ethics make that impossible. You cannot withhold a proven vaccine from half of Wales. But an arbitrary eligibility rule does something almost as good. People born on September 1, 1933, and people born on September 3rd are essentially identical in every respect that matters for dementia risk. Age within 2 days, genetics, upbringing, education, life exposures.
The only systematic difference between them is that the first group became vaccine eligible, and the second, in many parts of the country, did not. If dementia rates then diverge along that birthday line, the most likely culprit is the vaccine, because nothing else in the world respects a single day of birth.
This design has real power, and the researchers who used it were careful. The Welsh team checked that people on either side of the line looked similar in measurable ways, that vaccine uptake jumped exactly at the cutoff, and that other causes of death did not jump in ways that would fake the result. The Australians and Canadians ran variations on the same logic with their own policy lines and their own record systems. The English preprint, too, validated its own machinery. Eligibility did exactly what it should to hospital-coded shingles. So all four studies wielded a credible instrument. The disagreement is not about whether the comparisons were competently made. It is about what each one was actually measuring. And here, the story turns quietly strange.
Consider what it takes for a person with dementia to become a data point in each system. In Wales, the study drew on general practice records, the family doctor. In Britain, nearly everyone is registered with a general practitioner, and that doctor is usually the first person to notice memory failing, often years before anyone is hospitalized. A diagnosis entered in primary care can appear in the record while the person is still living at home, functioning, unremarkable to any hospital system. Now consider the English study, which used hospital episode statistics, records generated only when a person is admitted to a hospital bed or attends certain hospital services.
To become a dementia case in that data, a person must not only have dementia, but must encounter the hospital system in a way that leads to the diagnosis being coded. For many people with dementia, especially in early and middle stages, that simply never happens. They are diagnosed in the community, or never formally diagnosed at all, or they die of something else first.
Epidemiologists have a word for this: ascertainment, how a study finds and counts its cases. Ascertainment is not a footnote. It is the difference between measuring a disease and measuring who passes through a particular door labeled with that disease. A hospital dataset does not merely miss some community cases. It systematically selects for the most severe cases, the ones complicated enough to require hospital care, and it selects for people whose dementia has progressed far enough that an admission is triggered.
If a vaccine's protective effect on dementia is moderate and slow, if it delays onset or slows early progression rather than preventing the severe end stage, then the effect might be plainly visible in primary care records, where early diagnoses live, and nearly invisible in hospital records, where only the late, severe cases arrive. The hospital study would then be measuring the vaccine's effect on the tail of the disease, in the one place a modest effect on onset has already had the most time to be overwhelmed.
There is a second, subtler asymmetry. Hospital coding has its own habits. A patient admitted after a fall may be coded for the fracture and the infection, not the underlying dementia. Coding completeness varies by hospital, by year, and by whether dementia is relevant to the bill. None of this is sloppiness. It is a system built for managing hospital care, repurposed by researchers as a measurement device. The repurposing is legitimate and common, but every repurposed instrument carries its original design into the science. A stethoscope is a poor thermometer.
none of this proves the English null is an artifact. That must be said clearly, because the temptation runs the other way too. It is entirely possible that the hospital data is the honest one, and the positive signals are the artifacts. The Welsh, Australian, and Canadian studies each have their own soft spots. All of them rely on observational records, where vaccinated and unvaccinated people may differ in ways the birthday line cannot fix. The most famous is healthy vaccinee bias. People who seek out vaccines tend to be more health engaged and more medically supervised. If eligible people simply see doctors more often, their dementia might be diagnosed more often, pushing the apparent effect toward more dementia. So this bias alone struggles to explain a protective signal.
But subtler versions exist, involving education, income, and cognitive reserve, and the design suppresses rather than eliminates them. The design compares people inches apart on the calendar, but vaccine uptake on either side of the line is not universal, and who chooses to take the shot is never random.
A careful reader will notice that the two error stories point in opposite directions, and that is precisely what makes this disagreement scientifically interesting. If primary care records overdiagnose the vaccinated, the positive studies are inflated. If hospital records undercapture community dementia, the English null is diluted. Both processes can be true simultaneously, in different proportions, in different countries. The question is not which study is clean, it is which distortions dominate which instrument.
The biology, meanwhile, refuses to make this easy by being silly. The idea that a shingles vaccine could touch dementia is not fringe speculation. The varicella zoster virus, which causes chickenpox and later shingles, lives dormant in nerve ganglia for life, including near the brain. There is a long-standing hypothesis that periodic viral reactivation, silent, repeated, low-grade, contributes to neuroinflammation, and neuroinflammation is deeply implicated in dementia's pathology. In 2025, a large health record analysis published in Nature Medicine found that documented shingles episodes were associated with increased dementia risk and vaccination with reduced risk.
A separate United States analysis of the abrupt switch from the live vaccine to the newer recombinant one associated the recombinant vaccine with about 17% more dementia diagnosis-free time than the live vaccine. The mechanism story, a virus that flares, an immune system that ages, a brain that accumulates the consequences, is coherent enough that neither result can be waved away as biologically implausible. That is what makes the record system question urgent rather than academic.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. There is also a deeper layer medicine usually keeps out of sight. Dementia is a category, a map drawn by clinicians over a shifting landscape of pathology. The word covers Alzheimer's disease, vascular injury, Lewy body disease, and mixed pictures that no scanner can fully separate. The rules for what counts, which test results, which level of impairment, which coding framework, are revised every few years, and different countries apply them at different speeds and in different settings. Scholars of disease classification call this the nosology, the system by which diseases are named, bounded, and counted. When the nosology changes, or when two record systems implement it differently, the counted disease changes too.
Dementia rates can appear to rise or fall because the category moved, not because any brain did. A cross-country comparison of vaccine effects is therefore also, whether anyone intends it or not, a comparison of national nosologies and their administrative fingerprints.
This is where the English null earns a second, more respectful look. Suppose the vaccine genuinely delays dementia onset by a few years in a fraction of people. Primary care systems, which see patients early and often, would register that delay as fewer new diagnoses within the follow-up window.
Hospital systems, which see patients late and severely, would register almost nothing until the delay had time to postpone even the hospital stage, and 7 years may not be enough. The English result would then be exactly what a true moderate effect looks like through the wrong end of the instrument. Equally, suppose the vaccine has no effect on dementia at all, and the positive signals are confounded. The hospital result would be exactly what a tree null looks like through any instrument.
The same two data sets support both stories, which is the article's honest burden. The disagreement is consistent with both a real effect hidden by ascertainment and no effect inflated by confounding, and no single observational study currently distinguishes them.
What would actually settle it? Not a bigger database. That is the trap. 6.3 million people measuring the wrong endpoint with exquisite precision is still measuring the wrong endpoint. Sample size shrinks uncertainty around whatever the instrument sees. It does not change what the instrument sees. The decisive evidence would look like this. First, a reanalysis of the English population using primary care records. The Clinical Practice Research Data Link and similar datasets exist for precisely this purpose, testing the same eligibility discontinuity against diagnoses made in the community. If the null survives in primary care, the record system explanation weakens badly.
Second, a harmonized reanalysis across all four countries using a single agreed dementia definition applied identically to each system, so that the comparison isolates the vaccine rather than the plumbing. Third, and decisively, a randomized trial. Because the recombinant vaccine is now standard in many countries and the live vaccine persists elsewhere, a trial randomizing older adults to vaccination versus a control condition with pre-agreed cognitive endpoints and adjudicated outcomes is feasible in a way dementia prevention trials rarely are.
That last phrase deserves unpacking because it is the quiet hinge of the whole story. In a rigorous trial, outcome adjudication means every suspected case is formally reviewed, records assembled, criteria applied, a committee decides whether the outcome truly occurred, blind to which arm the patient was in. Adjudication exists precisely because researchers know that routine records are noisy. It is telling that the studies currently driving headlines about vaccines and dementia are, by necessity, built on unadjudicated administrative codes. That is not a flaw anyone chose. It is the cost of studying effects this large and this slow without running a 30-year trial. But it means the field's biggest questions are being answered by its least vetted measurements.
The strongest case against this whole framing, then, deserves to be stated at full strength, without a straw man in sight. It goes like this. The cross-country disagreement has a boring explanation. Countries differed in vaccine type, uptake, age range, follow-up length, background healthcare, and coding habits. The positive results come from primary care systems with their own biases. The null comes from a hospital system with different ones. The honest summary of the evidence is that it is inconsistent, that no shingles vaccine is established as a dementia treatment or prevention, and that the discrepancy will be resolved by trials now being discussed, not by clever rereadings of records that were never designed to answer this question.
People who have followed dementia research for decades have watched too many promising signals. Hormone therapy, anti-inflammatories, blood pressure drugs dissolve under randomized conditions to be impressed by natural experiments, however elegant. That skepticism is not a foil. It is a genuine rival, and it may win. But notice what it concedes on the way past, that the instruments differ, that the differences are systematic, and that any resolution will have to account for them. Even the boring explanation is, at bottom, a claim about which measurement distortions dominate, and that claim is testable in exactly the ways listed above. The interesting disagreement is not between believers and skeptics. It is between two theories of where the error lives, in the biology
or in the record.
There is also a human-scale stake that the methodology can obscure. If the protective effect is real and the hospital null is an ascertainment problem, then the world's largest new dataset, the one health ministries and newspapers naturally reach for precisely because it is enormous, will keep reporting nothing while a genuine, cheap, already approved intervention goes underexploited for years. If the null is real and the positives are confounded, then hope is being sold prematurely to families who cannot afford another disappointment. Both futures are expensive. Only one of them is currently being priced into public expectations, and it is not obviously the right one.
Three findings would disprove this article's thesis, three falsifiers, and they should be stated as concretely as the claim itself. First, if a primary care reanalysis of the English population, with good case capture, still finds no effect at the eligibility cutoff, then the hospital coding explanation collapses, and the disagreement must be biological or confounding after all. Second, if a harmonized cross-country analysis using one dementia definition preserves the positive versus null split with no relation to record type, the ascertainment story loses its explanatory power.
Third, if validation studies show that hospital, primary care, and mortality datasets identify dementia with similar timing and sensitivity near these eligibility cutoffs, then the two instruments were never measuring different diseases, and this entire framework was an elegant mistake. Each of these is a real study someone could run. None requires a new idea, only access and patience.
It is also worth naming what this article has deliberately not claimed. It has not claimed the shingles vaccine prevents dementia. The evidence is contradictory, and no such claim is established. It has not claimed the English researchers erred. Their study did exactly what it set out to do with the data it chose, and their null on hospital-coded dementia is a fact about hospital-coded dementia. It has not told anyone to get vaccinated for their memory. The vaccines are indicated for shingles, full stop. And it has not claimed record systems are useless. They are among the most valuable instruments epidemiology has ever built. The claim is narrower and stranger. An instrument can be honest, enormous, and still pointed at a different disease than the one on the label.
That idea generalizes uncomfortably far. The same hospital records count heart attacks, sepsis, and dozens of outcomes whose coded versions are late or partial pictures of the community disease. The same cross-country logic underlies drug safety surveillance and comparative effectiveness research. If ascertainment differences can flip the sign of a vaccine dementia signal between neighboring countries sharing one language and similar populations, they can quietly distort any comparison built on dissimilar record systems, which is to say, most of them. The discipline that gave the world randomized trials did so because it learned, expensively, that observation is not experiment.
The quieter lesson, still being learned, is that observation is not even observation unless you ask what the observer was built to see.
Which returns the story to the birthday line. Somewhere in Wales tonight is a person born on September 1st, 1933, vaccinated two decades ago, whose memory is holding. And somewhere in England is a person born a day later, unvaccinated, whose diagnosis never entered any hospital's codes. The statistics are made of such people, and the statistics disagree, and the disagreement is not yet about truth. It is about doors. The primary care door opens early and often. The hospital door opens late and rarely. And the mind, slipping in between, is counted by whichever door it happens to pass through.
The open question is the one the next study must be designed to answer. And it is not whether the vaccine worked. It is whether the world's measurement machinery can tell the difference between a disease changing and a record changing. Whether before concluding that an effect exists or fails to exist,
we can first establish that all the instruments were pointed at the same disease. Until then, the most accurate sentence anyone can write about the shingles vaccine and dementia is genuinely double-headed. The evidence suggests a real effect, and the evidence suggests nothing at all. And both statements were produced by the same method, reading different minds through different doors. Learning which reading to trust is not a technicality.
In an age when medical record systems are becoming the substrate of nearly all health knowledge, it is the whole game. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.